It's Black and Abdallah. Follow us on the gram at Black and Abdallah and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
The Bears lose yesterday 19-11 to the Indianapolis Colts. They are now 3-1 on the season. They play the Bucks, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, on Thursday night football this week. Black and Abdallah with you here on ESPN 1000, 312-332-3776. We will take your Bears calls this hour here on ESPN 1000. And Adam, I want to start with this because I think it's something that kept coming up in my head throughout the game yesterday as I watched. Is that balance is the key to life. Work-life balance, super important, right? You got to make sure that you're taking care of both what you're doing at work, but also at home as well. And then you also look at, you relate that to football. Run-pass balance is necessary for a successful offense in the National Football League. And the one thing that I think is a true tell to Matt Nagy and his offensive system is the fact that when he does not run the ball, it gives the Bears an opportunity to lose football games. If we look to Matt Nagy, the 14 games he has lost as head coach of the Chicago Bears, the Bears have been outperformed as far as the amount of attempts running the football in 10 of those games. The Bears have only lost four games under Matt Nagy where they attempted more runs than their opponent. And in those four games that they outran their opponent as far as attempts goes, they only lost those four games by a total of 13 points. Therefore, those four games were really close. And what I have started to see and started to notice, because we saw it in the Falcons game, we saw it in the Lions game, and just miraculous comebacks for the Chicago Bears, and it gets them to that 3-0 record, is that without running the football, this team puts themselves into holes more times than not that they are unable to dig out of. And that's why I point to the 10 of the 14 losses where the opponent has outperformed the Chicago Bears in the run game, and it continues to be something where there is no balance for this offense. It is pass only, and every time Matt Nagy seems to start to take a step towards progress, where there will be some kind of development of the balance of this offense, where they run the football with Montgomery, they run it with Patterson. Next thing we know, the Colts run it 38 times, the Bears run it 16, you lose the game by 8. Right? We go back to the Chiefs game last year. The Chiefs win 26-3. They outperform the Bears as far as rush attempts, 29-22. You can go on and on. Look up every single time the Chicago Bears have lost a game. Go back to the wild card game in 2018. They lose the game 16-15. The Eagles attempted 23 runs, the Bears 18. Just continue to go down the list. When the Bears do not run the football, there is no balance to the offense, and the offense suffers. And that's my takeaway from yesterday's game.
Yeah, if you look at it, they're 19th in rushing attempts in the NFL through four games, right? A few of the teams haven't played their fourth game because they're going to play it tonight, or they're on bye, or the game was canceled and moved, right? You look at the number one team in the NFL, the Cleveland Browns. Yes, they've had a few losses, but they beat up on a team and just stuck with a game plan to beat up on the Cowboys. It seems like Matt Nagy, when he faces a strong defensive front like they did yesterday in the Indianapolis Colts, that he abandons the run as soon as it stops working. And then you become predictable. Oh, guess what? Cordarrelle Patterson's in. They're going to run. Let's stuff the box. You know what I mean? Like, they are way too predictable. He doesn't adjust his play calling. I don't know what he does during halftime, because that's when you're supposed to be making adjustments. Maybe he just, you know, changes and gets some water, gets an orange slice, and then comes back out for the second half. But you're supposed to be making second half adjustments, and it's something throughout his career, with the Bears, that it seems like he struggles to make adjustments to the teams that he's facing. You saw the best defense you've seen so far this season for the Bears, right? The Giants' defense wasn't great. The Falcons' defense isn't great. The Lions' defense isn't great. Going into the game, this was the number one defense, according to DVOA. This week, the Bucs have the number two defense, according to DVOA. They're the number one team overall. They have the eighth best offense, the second best defense. So you're going to see another strong defense come in, and people are gonna, I've been getting tweets all day, oh well, are they really the number two defense? Look, they gave up this many points to the Jets. Look, the stats are what they are. There aren't a lot of great defenses in the league right now because everyone's putting up 50 points a game except for the Bears. The Bears had the second lowest total out of teams so far this week. There's still two games that have yet to be played, but I guarantee you the Patriots and the Chiefs score more points than the Bears did this weekend. I guarantee you the Packers and the Falcons put up more points than the Bears did this week. Only the Giants, and only by 2 points. They put up 9 points. The Bears put up 11 points. It's ridiculous. Ridiculous that this guy, a so-called offensive guru, comes in, finally has the quarterback that he wants. I know it's not an ideal situation because you're dealing with having to get a backup because Trubisky never had any real competition. And, you know, you couldn't go out and get, you probably should have gone out and gotten Cam, but you didn't. So you go out and you get Nick Foles. And what do you do with him? You make him throw the ball 42 times. 42 times! Nick Foles isn't supposed to be throwing the ball 42 times. That's crazy. You're not going to win games like that. You attempted to run the ball 16 times. That should be at least 16 times a half. At least. I'm not going to go into these are the Bears, they should get off the bus running. This is football. That's how you win games. You run the ball. You want to maintain possession of the football. You want to rest your defense. You run the football. You set up play action. Everybody knew what the Bears were going to go out there and do yesterday, and it cost them a game against a team that you held to 19 points. And in the NFL, we're seeing with the scores that are going around, as overs are coming in left and right, you hold a team to 19 points, you should be able to score 21.
Absolutely. Bleck and Abdallah with you here on ESPN 1000, 312-332-3776. You're right, Adam. I mean, balance is the key to life. It's the balance that is the key to great offensive football as well. And if you have a balanced offense, these Bears will be in every single game. And it just feels like to me, the farther we go down the road of an unbalanced offense, we keep finding the Bears in these situations down two scores, down three scores early in a first half a game. And they find themselves in games that they can't win, or they make it very difficult on themselves. You know, against the Falcons, that wasn't easy. That was a very difficult win. Putting in a backup quarterback who's now your starter, but he comes in, he throws the touchdowns, brings the team back. So, listen, they need to give themselves a chance, and that's where the balance offense comes in. Let's go to Rodney on the west side. Rodney, you're on ESPN 1000 Talking Bears. What's up?
Hey, good evening, guys. Just making my way home. First-time caller. Long-time listener to you guys, as it says for ESPN. Hey, just two quick points. Actually, three I wanted to make. First thing is that dealing with the Bears – offensively, regardless of the quarterback, I think it's more of a schematics or personnel. We have at least three or four different wide receivers that are like 6'1", 6'2". Not a lot of NFL defenses can match up with that, and we know this is a game of matchups. So I'm not understanding like why Wings is not getting more of a chance, Ridley with his pedigree and what he did down in Georgia. So I just think there's not enough opportunity being spread around offensively, even with the lack of the running game. And then defensively, I don't think Pagano is actually using these guys how Fangio did, because there's no way that Eddie Jackson is an in-the-box strong safety kind of the way Amos was. He's a ball hawk. That's why he's not getting the production. That's what the utilization is. This defense looks very vanilla, very predictable like the offense. So I think we just need to get the grit back on that, and then hopefully over these next couple of weeks we can at least have some kind of positive vibe going into the second half of the season.
Thanks for the call, Rodney. I the one thing I'll point out, and I agree with Rodney, is outside of trying to pick balls off and run to the end zone, I'm not quite sure what Eddie Jackson does well back there.
So Eddie Jackson's not going to be a good run stopper. He had that one really good play.
Forget
where he
run
came
stopping
in.
After a wide receiver catches a ball, is he willing to tackle?
Yeah, I mean,
did you see him towards the goal line yesterday after a receiver running towards the goal line? Just kind of,
I mean,
it seems like each and every time he's got to get in there. He's got to make a tackle, make a play.
I think that saying that they, you know, like players are going to have bad plays every once in a while. You know, like Jalen Johnson is performing well. He had a couple bad plays. I don't think Eddie Jackson had a bad game. He just had a couple bad plays. Same with Kyle Fuller. The defense, I thought the defense played well. I thought the defense, you limit a team to 19 points, you should be able to win a game. I don't think this is on the defense. I think they need to play better. I think more guys need to be getting to the quarterback if Khalil Mack is getting all this attention, as we keep seeing. But I think that the defense is still playing well. Robert Quinn needs to play more. He only was on the field for 44% of the snaps. I want 66% of that money back.
Well, that's not happening.
Well, that's what I'm saying. If you're going to be on the field, you've had three games
I don't know.
To ramp up.
Like, I don't totally agree. Like, I get it. The defense was good enough to keep you in a ball game. The other team only scores 19 points. This is not that 2018 historically great defense that we saw from the Chicago Bears. This defense gets pushed around. And let's be honest, what, with 7 minutes left? The Colts just said, we're just going to run this thing.
Yeah.
And you're not going to stop us. You know why? Because we're tougher. I mean, come on. That should make any Bears fan proud. And I get it. 19 points. Great. Bear down. Whatever. You still lost and you got pushed around at the end. You didn't get the ball back for your offense.
What if I told you all of those interceptions and all of those turnovers weren't a good thing for the 2018 Bears because they're trying to replicate that too much. They're trying to make game-changing plays when they need to be tackling. They need to be focused on fundamental defense instead of trying to make a game-changing play every single play.
What if
when
I
the ball
told
comes
you?
To you? When the ball comes to you, catch it. If the ball comes to you, catch it. But other than that, do your job. Make a play.
What if I told you there was a ball on a silver platter for Khalil Mack and he dropped it?
I mean, how many times?
That was a game-changing play.
He catches that
right there
would have
changed the game.
He catches that 9 out of 10 times. It's not like he didn't try to
catch
it.
Well, I didn't say he didn't try. He just didn't.
Well, you're acting like he just went, nope, not today.
No, I'm not here for just the passing of the Bears defense. Like, they're the greatest thing since sliced bread. You know how great that was when we figured out that we could slice bread? Sebastian in Bolingbrook, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
No problem, man.
I think the biggest thing when I look at it, I just want to highlight the defense. The thing that really ticked me off yesterday is when you look at Philip Rivers, and you know he's not the greatest quarterback in the world. He kind of just hung back in there, and he wasn't dropping dimes. He wasn't doing anything spectacular even. He was just floating the ball in the air. And every single time we try to do that, they either got batted, they got in between our receiver, they stuck their hand in between and just – they just made plays. We just didn't make plays. I didn't understand that, but that's not why I called it. It's just kind of something I noticed.
Mm-hmm.
This offense is horseshit. Ooh. I don't know what they practice for.
Well, I mean, they're not the best.
I mean, listen, they could certainly score more points. We're going to take more of your phone calls at 312-332-3776. Yes, the offense is no good. I agree.
Twitch loves that.
I agree with the phone call. More of your calls next.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
This is Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000.
Are we still going with vaunted Bears defense?
They're still a top 10 defense?
I mean, they are in defensive yards per play. They were 7th.
Okay.
Including last week.
Okay.
So.
Then they're still a top 10 defense.
Vaunted Bears defense?
They're still a top 10 defense. Look, you watch the NFL. You were an observer of the NFL.
It was a clinical breakdown of the Bears defense yesterday by the Colts offense.
Yes.
Clinical.
But.
Precision. Precise.
That being said.
Vaunted. Is that what we're still doing? Bears vaunted
defense?
They're
a top 10 defense still. Okay.
All right. Just checking.
Are they a playoff caliber defense? Are they still a team, a defense that's capable of winning a Super Bowl should the Bears get there?
A Super Bowl?
Not winning on their own. Is that a defense that you could see in a Super Bowl? They're a top 10 defense. What more do you want?
They don't get to the quarterback.
It's the top. What do you mean they don't get to the quarterback? Where are their sack numbers?
I don't know. You tell me. How many sacks did they have yesterday of a statue, Philip Rivers? How many sacks? We know exactly where Philip Rivers will be. We know he'll be standing somewhere between 5 and 7 yards behind the line of scrimmage. We know he's not mobile whatsoever. How many sacks? While you answer that, let me let you know that our Bears discussion on Bears Mondays is brought to you by your Chicagoland Northwest Indiana Acura dealers. You have an answer for me? How many sacks they have of Philip Rivers?
I'm looking at their defensive stats.
Okay. Let's go to Angelo in Logan Square. Maybe he knows. Angelo, yeah. You're on ESPN 1000. What's up, man?
I don't know how many sacks they had, but I want to say how many third down penalties did we have on defense that gave them the first down?
Yeah, a lot,
on
right?
Our defense. And then another thing is they ran the ball 16 times. How many of them were on first downs? Seemed like all he wanted to do was run on first down. Got his 2 yards, 1 yard, then he just went away from it.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Angelo. And, you know, that's where it's interesting because if you run on first down and you get nothing, so then you're immediately trying to make up the yardage so you're not behind the sticks. Mm-hmm. You're trying to progress and you're trying to get into that sweet spot of third and four or less. And unfortunately, what we saw many times yesterday was that the Bears were in those long third and eight, third and nine situations, which are tough for any team. No excuses for the Bears, but it's tough for any team to have success offensively without at least getting 3 to 4 yards on offense on the first couple of downs to cut that yardage in half. So I get it. When you see the Bears only run on first down and they abandoned it, it seems strange. I also think it's strange that you go to the shotgun, but you're not more creative offensively with the run game. You and I watch a lot of college football, and a lot of the NFL schematics mm-hmm. are coming from coordinators and coaches who are coming from the college ranks who've been using the air raid and other formulas to move the ball down the field. And a lot of all of that, with Oregon, with Texas Tech, with different, you know, with Cliff Kingsbury at Texas Tech, Leach up at Washington State before he went to Mississippi State. Shout out to them, by the way, losing this weekend to Arkansas. How about that?
SEC giveth and the SEC taketh away.
The point with all that is, like, the key to Oregon wasn't just throw the ball 80 times a game. Mm-hmm. Oregon runs the ball better than almost anyone else in the country. So, like, that's the key, is the balance of the run game. You spread them out, and you find the gaps in the defense, and you run there. Like, that's what I think is surprising to Nagy's offense, is there is zero run game, even though he's trying to run one of these up-tempo, spread-them-out offenses. And I think that's where the team has really failed, is this offensive line can't move people, and they can't block.
What I don't understand, too, is you brought in all these guys, right? You brought in Foles. You drafted Kmet. You don't think Nagy had a hand in drafting Kmet? Where is he? Where's Jimmy Graham? You're paying him $9 million. Where is he besides in the red zone or on the goal line? Like, he's had two good plays. He's had his touchdown plays. Like, those are good. And that's just mismatch. That's just, I'm taller than you, so I can just pick the ball up for where you can't reach. So why aren't they at least attempting to run the same kind of system that he wants to? Just to at least show me that you're trying to run it. You know, and maybe you find success that way. Use the players that you went out and got and try to use them in that way. Mooney shouldn't be this breakout star. It's great that he is, but Allen Robinson should be better. Anthony Miller should be better. Cole Kmet should be on the field. Should be being targeted more than twice in four games. Twice in four games!
And you say breakout star. Mooney really hasn't done anything to begin with. He has become a breakout second wide receiver who catches a couple balls. It's not like he's going out there.
Where's Ridley?
Well, I mean, that guy hasn't even been active for games.
I know.
Going back to last year.
Yeah.
Schaub in Hyde Park, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up?
What's going on, guys? My issue is kind of like their running game. They're just handing it up the middle. They're not even, like, being creative. There's other things you can do with the running game. And they're not even being respected by the wrong linebackers. They're just sitting back and playing the pass, even without even being scared about the run. Because they know it's coming right up the middle, right towards them.
Yeah, good point. Thank you for the call, Shab. Call again, all right? You know, you have to move players. And I see in the Twitch chat, they're trying to tell me, hey, just so you know, the Bears defense is the offensive line for the Colts is really good.
They are really good.
Okay. Okay, fine. If we want to do an excuse Monday, we can do an excuse Monday. I mean, this city, half the city has been doing it for 4 years for Trubisky, so we can figure it out. We can do that here.
Are you surprised that they lost this game? I mean, we all kind of had them at 3-1 or some form of
before
it.
Before the season, we both had them losing this game.
Yeah.
I am surprised that they looked so inept. Yes, I'm surprised by that. Now, could the Colts beat them? Absolutely, and they did. Was I wrong in picking them? Waddle and Sylvie like it, Lovitz? Yes, I was wrong. I'm picking the Bears as my love. I was also wrong to place money on the money line for the Bears yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm annoyed by that, yes. But the Bears should have been more competitive in this contest.
The Bears should have been more competitive, yes. But if you would have told me that the very good offensive line, the great offensive line for the both lines for the Colts, the offense and defensive line, just had their way with the Bears' offensive defensive line, I wouldn't have been surprised. Because the Bears' offensive line, while they have been good, they haven't been playing defensive lines that are of this caliber. They haven't played defenses of this caliber. DeForest Buckner was all over the place.
He was.
Yesterday. He was
absolutely
on every single play almost.
Yes, he was.
Okay, and then you look at their offensive line and what they were able to do for Jonathan Taylor, and that's, yes, the Bears have had good offensive line play. They've been running the ball well. But look at the defenses that they've been playing. That's what you have to look at.
Shout out to our Twitchers, though. ESPN 1000 Chicago. Love you. Love the Twitchers.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else going on in the Twitch chat that I need to know about? You always keep your eyes on the Twitch chat to make sure that everyone's keeping things under control.
I do. They're not happy with the excuses. They definitely caught the swear, which is fun. It's uncensored on Twitch.
Oh, of course.
You want to watch on Twitch,
it's the best.
But no, just good quality Bears conversation right now.
All right, let's go to Nick and Skokie. Good quality Bears conversation.
Yeah.
Nick, you're on ESPN 1000.
What's up, guys? I just want to say I think you guys do a phenomenal job before we get started here.
Thanks, Nick.
So thank you for taking my call. I heard two stats today. I haven't verified them yet, and then I have a question. The first one is it true that the Bears have not scored a single point in the third quarter yet this year?
Yep, it's true. They're the only team in the NFL.
They're also the only team that has yet to have a rushing touchdown.
That right there, just in perspective, I guess we can come back to that in a second. The other thing I heard was, outside of wearing a Philadelphia Eagles jersey, Nick Foles is 5-12 as a starter. I didn't know that.
Oh, you mean for his other teams? Right. Like outside of the run he made at the Eagles? Yeah, yeah.
And I think that's telling when you pay a guy as much as Chicago is paying him. But now I guess here's my question. Based on what we've seen so far in the first game against Detroit, which easily could have gone Detroit's way, the game against the Giants, which could have gone the Giants' way, I do give the Bears credit for what they did in Atlanta, specifically Nick, and then the game you saw yesterday. Personally, I'm not a Bears fan, but I am a betting man, and I bet a buddy of mine yesterday that this team's going 8-8, maybe 7-9, and based on the schedule they're given. If you take that into consideration with the money they're paying Nick, and I know that they're not married to Mitch, but I kind of see between 7-9 and 9-7 on this construction for this year and potentially the next few years. My question for you guys is, was I silly to make that bet for this year?
Thanks for the question, Nick. Let's discuss this. Do you think it's silly they made the bet?
No, I don't think so.
I don't think so either. Here's the thing. We both had the Bears right around 8-8 to begin with.
Mm-hmm. There were a couple swing games that we put in there depending on who the quarterback was going to be and that kind of stuff.
Well, we laid it out pretty clear. We said if Foles becomes a quarterback quickly, this team could win more games than if Trubisky's the quarterback for 8-9 weeks.
We thought.
Well, but at the time, no matter who the quarterback was, we both said that they're probably going to lose two in a row to the Colts and to the Bucs.
Mm-hmm.
Those are tough games, right? So, look at it this way. Can this team make the playoffs this year? Absolutely. You know why? Because what? They have 12 games left, and they have to win half of them. They get to 9 wins, you're in the playoffs. There's an extra playoff spot this year. You get the 9 wins, you're probably in.
It's not coming out of the East, which is going to help you.
Right.
Because the East is garbage.
You know, so let's just look at it mathematically. You have 3 in the bank, and you got 12 games left. You got to win half. Win half of your games. I think Nick Foles, even though the caller points out, he's not good. Yeah, we get it. Nick Foles is not a great quarterback. We're just hoping he can be serviceable, run the offense. If the Bears can just win half of their games, they're a playoff team this year.
Here's what's helping you. Okay, the Vikings are 1-3.
Yeah,
the Vikings aren't a very good football team.
And some people thought that would be a second team out of the division into the playoffs.
And those games have gone from maybe splitting them home and home to now maybe you can win both games against the Lions and you can win both games against the Vikings. So you can win those games. And then, you know, yeah, the Packers are probably going to go to 4-0 tonight. So, yeah, you're probably not going to win the division, but you could still make the playoffs.
You can certainly make the playoffs. Even though you lose yesterday to the Colts in a tough game where you look pathetic offensively, you can still make the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
The season can still have a positive turn to it. Bleck and Abdallah with you here on ESPN 1000. Can I ask you about Khalil Mack coming up next?
Yeah.
Is it fair to question whether or not the trade was worthy of it? Is it fair to question that? We'll talk about it next.
You're listening to Bleck and Abdallah.
ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
I'd like you to meet someone who's really special.
It's Bleck and Abdallah.
A real inspiration.
Follow us on the gram at Bleck and Abdallah and at ESPN _ Chicago.
Bears Monday coverage here on ESPN 1000 is brought to you by Chicagoland and Northwestern Indiana Acura dealers. You know, I was watching the game yesterday, and Khalil Mack was out there. He didn't really do anything to make a difference, and I get it. He's being double-teamed, and there's many times it seems as if he's being held, and I know Bears fans all around the city are saying, throw a flag, come on, Khalil Mack's being held. But when I'm watching other games, And even the Bears-Colts game, I mean, Buckner was wreaking havoc on the Bears' backfield, going after Nick Foles, creating pressure. I see it all day long on the red zone coverage. You watch the national games. Brandon Graham yesterday in the Eagles-49ers game at the end, making plays. You know, Abdallah, the thing that I started to think about was, listen, Khalil Mack's great. The point of the conversation isn't to say that he's a bad football player, but I don't know if ever in the NFL it's worthy to trade away what Ryan Pace traded away to get back just one single player, because in the NFL, one single player who is not a quarterback usually doesn't make some dramatic difference to the win total at the end of the day. And I think we're kind of seeing that with Khalil Mack. He is great, but Ryan Pace gave up so much to get him that it kind of hurt the depth everywhere else on the roster. And I just don't ever know if we'll ever really just 100% say, yeah, it was worth it. You know, 2018 was great. 12-4 was great. Will they get back to that point again? I don't know.
Yeah, I think that, you know, to say that it's not worth it, it's always worth it, I think, to have Khalil Mack on your team. But you hope for your GM to find the next Khalil Mack. You hope that with those picks that maybe, you know, you move up and you draft if you need to, or you find the next Khalil Mack. You find the next, you know, Aaron Donald. You find the next,
right.
and name any of these, DeForest Buckner, name any of these pass rushers. The goal is to find the next guy and not just keep trading away. I think what, you know, you and I have talked about, and we talked a lot about it with Waddle off the air today, is, and we've mentioned it countless times, is, oh, the
second,
a little
behind the scenes? You're going to
we've mentioned
some behind the scenes?
There's no behind the scenes. How many times?
Some shop we were talking with Waddle?
If I had a dollar.
Drawing up plays with Waddle?
If I had a dollar every time I said, you know, the second you traded for Khalil Mack, you started the clock, the countdown clock on Trubisky.
Oh, yeah.
I'd be able to buy a decent pair of Jordans.
I'm trying to run through the teams in the NFL, and I know that Jamal Adams was just traded to the Seahawks, and the Seahawks are 4-0. But, like, who's the other star on one of the best teams in football that you say, oh, yeah, he's leading that team because they traded for him? That's not really how the NFL works.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Buffalo doesn't have any players like that. The Packers don't have any players like that right now. I mean, who else you want to look at? Tennessee? Yeah, all right. I mean, they acquired Tannehill.
Tannehill winning you anything?
No. I mean, the Steelers? No. I mean, even the Patriots and the Chiefs? No. I mean, that's just what I was thinking of, is like the I just don't know if giving up all of that was worth someone. And it's not, and you're right, it has nothing to do necessarily with Khalil Mack. It has to do with the concept. The concept, I don't know if it was worth doing it. Let's go to Brad in St. Charles. You're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Brad?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good. What's going on?
So I had a quick, one of the points you guys already hit on, but like, why was Mingo in way more than Robert Quinn? That just didn't make sense. But my main point, though, there was a play, I think it was in the third quarter, where it was a bunch set to the right, and Foles rolled out, and it was an incomplete pass, third down, whatever.
Yeah.
Did Nagy forget that Foles was in at QB and not Trubisky? Because that looked like a Trubisky-type of play, where he's rolling out and Foles move very slow. And my last little point here, how many times do we have some team pinned down in their own inside the 20 and we give up a big play on first down?
Oh, yeah. We've seen many times this season. That Foles play, he threw it behind the receiver, right?
I think so.
I think so, too. All right, yeah. Thanks, Brad. Appreciate the phone call.
He looks very slow. Yeah, thanks, guys.
Yeah, no problem. Good call.
No, I know a play Brad's talking about, and it happened a few times where it seemed like the secondary is trying to make catches as opposed to trying to break up passes or tackle the guy in front of him.
I want the defense
to be
great.
It's just frustrating, yeah.
I mean, how about this? Roquan Smith jawing with Phillip Rivers, and he makes the tackle on the following play, the 4th and 1. The problem is, Roquan, is you tackled the individual carrying the football 2 yards past the first down marker.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I get it. You want to talk trash to Phillip Rivers, and Phillip Rivers is going to talk trash too.
I feel like Rivers started that.
I don't care who started it. You know who got the first down? The Colts did.
Yeah, of course.
Mike, in Oak Park, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Mike?
Hey, yeah, 2 points I wanted to make. First of all, you look at the tape, the biggest difference between the Colts defense and Bears defense is that every single defensive play, the Colts defenders, all of them ran to the ball. If you watch the game film, the Bears weren't doing it. They weren't having all the guys swarm to the ball. Secondly, the point I want to make is there's a crucial play, like I think it was in the first half. The Bears had 2nd down with 3 yards to go. Perfect time to play action. What does Nagy do? Nagy comes out in a shotgun. So then there's no threat of running the ball. It just doesn't make any sense. You're taught from youth football on up, you do play action defense on it. It's a simple thing. You're supposed to be a head coach in the NFL. That's why McCarthy got fired and by the Green Bay Packers, because he get by running shotgun all the time because Aaron Rodgers is just out of this world and he can make up for all the bad play calls. We don't have that type of quarterback. That's all I wanted to say, and I enjoy your guys' show. Thank you.
Thank you, Mike. Thank you for the phone call. We'll take more of your phone calls next.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
This hour is brought to you by The Book at Hollywood Casino, Aurora, and Joliet.
This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
This is Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000.
Thank you to Tyler Aki for producing tonight's show. We will be joining the Yankees and Rays at 7 o'clock right here on ESPN 1000 Major League Baseball playoffs. We'll be back tomorrow night from 6 to 8 right here on ESPN 1000. We'll also be with Waddle and Sylvie starting at 2 tomorrow afternoon. Hey, download the podcast of the Black and Abdallah show. You can find it on the ESPN Chicago app.
Mm-hmm.
Numbers have been good lately. Download the podcast. Check it out. And if you don't have the ESPN Chicago app, make sure you're downloading the ESPN Chicago app and you're listening to ESPN 1000 right there through the app. Once you turn it on, it turns the station on. Very easy. Very easy to use. It's great. You can find all the podcasts here at the station right on the ESPN Chicago app.
Yeah, you can also watch us on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN1000. Chicago, Twitch still popping. People still arguing about stuff.
Oh, yeah. What's the latest comments? What do you got?
Faye's always in there. Faye on the north side.
Shout out to Faye.
She's always in there. And she's mad. She's mad that this doesn't look like the old Bears defense where everybody swarms to the ball.
Yes.
You see like 4 or 5 bodies wherever the ball is. Completely agree.
Faye, you know what's up. Al in Jefferson Park, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Al?
Hey, congrats, guys, on the new show. It's not
Thanks, the baseball show
anymore, right? It's a Black and Abdallah show.
Yeah, the baseball show will return when baseball season returns. So Black and Abdallah now with you starting at 6 o'clock every night.
Awesome, awesome. You know, you guys are talking about the defense, but the O's scored 11 points. Why are you even talking about defense? I don't understand. This loss is not on the defense, right?
That's what I'm trying to tell him, Al.
Chris.
Yeah.
11 points.
No, I know. Listen.
Why are you bringing up Mac?
Listen.
He played all right. I mean, everybody played all right. The D played all right. 19
well, hold on. If we want to be truthful about it, when was the last time Mac had a dominant game? Can you name it?
Every game.
I think you guys have blinders on.
Every game. I don't think you're watching that line play.
Al, you want me to go after the offense? You want me to?
Well, it's easy picking if you go after offense. I know.
Pick a guy.
Yeah, no. Well, yeah, how about this? Anybody. How about this? Wait, what's the deal with Anthony Miller? Dropping a pass each game? What's his problem? He spends more time on his celebrations for completions than he does getting yards after the catch.
If you're going to do that, you have to do that in the Cowherd voice. If you're going to do that, you're like, Anthony Miller, too much time celebrating.
He's creating TikToks, but he can't get yak.
Tap backwards.
We all know Anthony Miller. Come on. That's one game on, one game off. One game on, one game off. You know?
I think it goes for plays. One game, one play on, one play off. That's what I've seen. Thank you for the call, Al.
Thanks, Al.
Yeah, no problem.
Let's go to Tom in Plainfield. You're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Tom?
Hey, guys. Listen, first of all, I'm not calling to defend Mac in any situation. I mean, he dropped an interception yesterday that any of us probably could have caught in almost any situation. He's going to make mistakes, but he is almost consistently double teamed. The guy is worth everything that we gave up for him, especially when you consider Ryan Pace was going to be making first round choices with those picks. Were we going to get two more Kevin Whites? I'll take a guaranteed almost Hall of Fame caliber player of Khalil Mack over two Ryan Pace first round picks.
Okay, fair. Tom, you win the puzzle, the idea there. Tom wins because yes, I understand. Tom, congratulations, you win there. I mean, you're right. Thank you,
call,
Tom.
Call my wife and tell her that, okay?
Okay. I will. Just give me your number. All right. Yep. We'll call
her. All this listening to sports radio finally paid off. Yep.
Hey,
I won.
Mrs. Tom, by the way, he's right.
Mrs. Tom.
Josh Jacobs and Damon Arnett are the two players that the Raiders selected
the Bears
in 2019 and 2020. Both are starters for the Raiders.
Yeah, the Bears weren't going to take Josh Jacobs, though.
Probably not. I mean, but Damon Arnett is a cornerback that they signed who immediately started for the Raiders.
So. Absolutely.
I mean, they had Prince Amukamara that they signed in the offseason. Yes. They let him go because Arnett was progressing so much.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to Tom on the northwest
side.
What's up, Tom? Tom to Tom.
Hi, fellas. Always enjoy you, especially the baseball show.
Thank you, man.
Oh, sorry, Tom.
Just wanted to let you know that I don't agree with this idea that Mac is worth more than the players that will be going forward, like Josh Jacobs. Josh Jacobs, we wish we had him in our backfield. I'll tell you that as far as production. And I think that Mac has definitely slowed down at least a step. And I know he's double-teamed and everything, but I you know what? I think of it like along the lines that having an analogy to baseball, it's when the White Sox were stupid enough to trade Fernando Tatis and a couple other players for our friend James Shields, who was an absolute disaster.
Yeah.
And I hope that I'm wrong, but I don't see the Bears developing an offense to go along with the defense that we spent all the draft capital and everything on it. I just don't see that.
Yeah, no, good call, Tom. And listen, I'm not saying specifically Khalil Mack is not worth it. I just don't know if any player is ever worth it who's not a quarterback.
I think that's kind of what you're saying.
Sharon in Antioch, you're on ESPN 1000.
Hi, guys. It's hard to get excited with the Bears when all they want to do is get into the playoffs. And they play one game, and then they can't go farther.
Yes.
So I don't understand, you know, what the big deal is. If they're going to just try to get into the first game and not go any farther, it's not exciting anymore.
Yeah, they should want to win the Super Bowl, right, Sharon?
Exactly. And it seems like every time they get into the playoffs, it's like they peter out after the first game.
Yeah, that's what we've seen from them recently. Let's go to Mike in Elgin. You're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Mike?
Hey, fellas. I'm just wondering, with Bill O'Brien being gone,
no.
Case's hot seat's got to be going because he's going to be in the limelight of all these
scared
bad moves.
Mike, you scared Bleck for a second.
I thought you were going to say bring Bill O'Brien in here.
Scared Bleck for a second.
Okay, all right. I see what you're doing. God, hot seat. I got it.
No, but what it does do.
You guys missed on every first-round pick with the question mark still on Roquan. All right, if you're not extending your first-round picks, they're misses, okay? He cannot judge quarterbacks. He whiffed on Glennon. The Mitch thing is what it is. Do you really want this guy drafting another quarterback for you? Unfortunately, having Khalil Mack, a Hall of Fame player on a 6-10 team, does nothing for us. Blow this all up. We're 3-1 is a joke. This is horrible.
See, Mike?
Mike needs to go.
Thank you for the call, Mike. That's the premise here, right?
Mm-hmm.
Khalil Mack, you make the moves, you get him. But then, what do you really got there?
You have a team that's going to win at least 6 games every year.
Also, I'm telling you this. Pace is drafting another quarterback. He's a part of that. I don't think Pace is gone. The only way Ryan Pace is gone is if this turns into a complete disaster of a season.
Well, it could.
No, but think about it. They have to win half their games. They'll get into the playoffs. You're telling me they're not going to win half of their games left?
I don't know. It's the NFL, man. Weird stuff happens. Did you think the Browns were going to beat the Cowboys yesterday?
No, I didn't.
Do you think the Browns were going to put up 50 points or whatever it was?
No, I didn't.
Okay.
All right. But I did think the Bengals would win, and they won.
Okay, congrats. You got a game.
All right. I thought the Chiefs would win tonight. Aren't they leading right now?
No, they're only kicking field goals. You don't want to go through life kicking field goals against Brian Hoyer. He'll make you pay.
But no one has ever said that.
I just said
Hey, by the way, the Twitch chat said that your Cowherd impersonation sounded a lot like Seinfeld.
Oh, I mean, isn't it the same thing?
No.
What's the deal with the airports?
He's too worried about his TikToks.
Backwards hat guy.
Not first downs.
Not for me. The hat is supposed to shield your eyes. If you wear it backwards, it doesn't serve the purpose.
We'll be back at 2 with Waddle and Sylvie tomorrow.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.